from the holies of holies, the presence of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. And we're told to come into the presence of God. What a blessing that we have, that we can come. Not on our own authority, but on Christ's righteousness. So, what a wonderful picture that is. Here your Bibles, please, the book of Matthew, chapter 26, as we're continuing on in the red letters. And we're going to do a little leapfrog. We're going to come back. We're going to be looking at 1 through 35, and then we're going to jump down to 69. I wanted to keep this theme together. And then we'll fill in the rest of it next week. We talk about Jesus wrapping things up in the upper room. And then they're heading off into Gethsemane, where the Lord Jesus Christ is betrayed by Judas. And we'll look at that next week. But in here, it's interesting, as they're heading in through, they start having this conversation, and Jesus is warning them, right? He's been telling them that, look, he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be killed. And the disciples were so busy with their own plans and their own ideas that they weren't paying attention. And I know you guys never have that problem, but you know, I get that way. You get sort of focused on something. You don't really hear all kind of what's going on. You can talk to my wife. She tells me, right? My selective hearing. Right? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what? Huh? You know, it's like, oh yeah, I think I know how things are going. And I don't really sometimes focus and pay attention on all those things. And the disciples were just totally out of it. Not realizing all that was going to happen. Just moments from now that Jesus was going to be taken and arrested and within just a few hours crucified. And if they had known, how much different would have this night been for them? And in the midst of this, we have Peter. We're going to look at Peter. We have Judas, who is already determined to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And all the disciples who are left. And surely, you know, things would be different for them because they've walked with the Lord. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've, your history, if you've grown up in church and serving the Lord, or whether this is all new to you. But it's funny because you get excited. It's like, wow. And you see God working in your life. You see him answering your prayers, and this becomes a reality in your life. And you're like, oh wow, there, you know, things will like be like this forever. And then difficulty kind of comes. And sometimes you start to wonder, and sometimes you start to doubt. I've known to have times where I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and you don't seem to get the answer. Maybe there's pressures and things around you, right? We live in a world where it's not popular to be where you are today, sitting here in church. It's not popular to talk about Jesus and the Bible. Those aren't hip, cool things. Actually, it's turned around to the point where even now, it's offensive for speaking the truth. We find ourselves sometimes in conversations. I've found this out, talking with someone, and you're talking about, and all of a sudden you end up kind of whispering because you're like, who's listening? You know, as I shared just a couple weeks ago, tried to get on Facebook with the church's account, and we were locked out. Because apparently someone reported us for not following community standards. And it's easy to give up and compromise. But you know this idea of stumbling in your walk with the Lord. I just want to point out just kind of two areas. There's a lot of different reasons why people either are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right? I'm a Christian, but I don't want people to know it. Or we live in a time where so many people are leaving the faith because it's just so hard. I tell the idea, sometimes it's because of love and sometimes it's because of fear. Paul tells Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, make sure you get that right, because some people misquote that. It says money is the root. It's not. It's the love of money. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Right? We love the stuff of this world so much that I'd rather have that than serve God. And the appeal of it. I'm drawn away. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon, which was the god of wealth. You can't serve both of those. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. But if that becomes your trust, and that becomes your hope, and that draws you away from God, then that becomes an idol in your life. And it doesn't really matter of how much you have, right? I talked to a missionary many years ago, and he was talking about this village that he was serving. He goes, you know, guess what the number one problem with this village is? What number one sin is? And we, you know, idol worshiping. And he said, no, it's coveting. It's wanting. It's greed. So it doesn't matter how much you have. He said, all right, I just need just a little bit more. And that becomes a driving force. And people will sell out their faith for money. We hear about Demas. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. We see elsewhere in Scripture that Demas traveled with Paul. He was a servant along with Paul. And then he got to a point where he's like, you know what? I'd rather have the world than Jesus. And we live in a world today where the lines are very clear of what the world believes and what it's doing and what the Bible says. Right? We live in a day and age where it's hard to straddle that fence because the gap is so wide. And so many Christians are compromising because they love this world more than they love God. They want to be popular. They want to be successful. They want to be accepted. And so they compromise. And they stumble in their faith. The flip side of that is fear. Proverbs tells us the fear of man brings a snare, and whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. I'm afraid of what people are going to say about me. Right? I'm afraid I'm going to be unfriended. Now I'm a criminal. I've been in Facebook jail. I told my mom that. I said, yeah, I ended up in Facebook jail because of the church. And she goes, amateur. My mom's been in Facebook jail so much, so shame on her. She's probably listening to that. Pray for my mom, the convict that she is. But we're afraid what our neighbors are going to think. What if they find out that we love Jesus? What if they find out that I believe the Bible? What if in my teen years, I felt this way. I grew up in church, and I didn't want people to know that I was a Christian. I've shared it with you guys. My senior year, I went to a Christian school because I thought it would look good to go to a private school for college, right? So I went to Woodcrest Baptist Academy, and I would just tell people that I went to Woodcrest Academy. And I wanted to think I was going to a private school. Ooh, look at me, right? But I dropped the Baptist part because I didn't want them to know it was a Christian school. And something was coming up. And I remember being at work asking my boss, I said, look, something's coming up and I need to have this day off. And he goes, well, what is it? It was a Christian service thing we had to do. Our senior year, we had a project. So I need a Friday off of work to do work on this project. And I said, yeah, the school has this Christian service project we have to go through. And I'll never forget, this lady behind me looked at me and she goes, you're a Christian? You know, I'd worked there for a couple of years. And I was so well at hiding it that she was just perplexed that I was a Christian. Oh. Shame on me. The fear of man brings a snare. And we live this today. We're afraid of offending. We're afraid of being ostracized. We're afraid of being labeled. So Jesus is here in Matthew 26. They're talking and he's sharing. And he says, look, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Here he is. They're heading into the Garden of Gethsemane. Within just a few hours, Judas is going to betray him. The soldiers are going to take him away. But the next day, Jesus is dead on the cross. And he goes, this night, all of you are going to stumble because of me. It says, for as it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. This is out of Zechariah, a prophecy of the Old Testament. It says, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. You know, look at this, because Jesus points to them, and here are the disciples. They've been following him for three and a half years. They've seen the miracles, right? They've experienced the fullness of Christ. Some of them have been to the mountaintop and saw Jesus transformed, right? We talked about that. We've seen Jesus raise the dead, heal the blind, feed the 5,000, right? They had a front row seat, and they're like, oh, we'll never fall. We'll never stumble. But I look at that, and Jesus knows. This is the amazing thing. Because I know when I gave my life, I was just 5 years old, and Lord, I want to love you, and I was excited over the gospel, but I always walked the walk. There's been times when I've stumbled. And in a weird way, it's sort of a comfort that when God called me, he knew I was going to let him down along the way, and yet he still loved me. And maybe in your life, I don't know where you are with the Lord. I don't know if you're loud and proud and doing what you're supposed to be doing, or maybe you're afraid of what it might cost you if people find out. Or you love the things of this world and you love doing what you want to do instead of what God, right? Because sometimes that comes into play. Men like darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, right? I like the sin I have. And so, Lord, I'm not walking like I should because I love this other stuff more. The Lord knows. And when the Lord called you, he knew that you would let him down. But he loves you anyways. Right? You know, I imagine my wife and I have been married 35 years, and if she knew everything about me 35 years ago, I don't know, things might have been a little different. And yet in all of this, God knows everything. Every doubt you're having, every fear, every letdown, all the shame. He knew. I saw a meme. I was like, oh, should I pull this off or not? And I said, no, I won't, but I'll tell you what it is. So I shut it down anyways. But I love it. It said, when God called you, he already factored in your stupidity. What a wonderful God we serve. That he calls you and loves you, knowing you will let him down. But he knows that's not the end of the story. Because so many times when we stumble, I think of Judas who turns around and we see he betrays Jesus, right? Things aren't working out like he thought they were going to. So he goes out and is a traitor to Jesus. And then later he's sorry. And that's it. And I think sometimes in our lives, when we get off the path, when we're doing things we're not supposed to do, right? We know it. And sometimes we feel that shame, and sometimes we feel that sorrow, but we leave it there. We don't change and come back. So I'm thankful you're all here this morning. And sometimes people take these things, this shame, and use it to push against the Lord and go further from him instead of coming back. Because maybe if I don't go to church, or maybe if I don't come and pray, or maybe if I don't, then God really won't know. He knows. Actually, Luke tells us this. Talking about the same scene, it said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. What a picture this is. Because maybe the trial you're going through, the difficulty you're going through, maybe Satan has asked, look, you know what? I want to take John and shake him. Is he really going to hang on to God? And maybe you've experienced that in your life. Lord, I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to do what's right. And all of a sudden, everything in your life falls apart. Have you ever experienced that? And Satan is shifting you, shaking you, trying to pry you away from God. And I love this because he turns around, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. The Lord knows. He knows the path you're on. Don't abandon him. He says, come, draw closer to him, not further. He already knows. And Peter, back in Matthew, says this, right? So Jesus says, okay, all of you are going to stumble tonight. And Peter, yeah, I love Peter. He's got the mouth. He jumps right in. And Peter answers him, even if all these are made to stumble because of you, I never will be made to stumble, right? Good old Peter. You know, these guys, yeah, they're going to stumble, but not me. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. It's interesting because this message goes out, and maybe you're like, you know what? I would never stumble. I would never fall. I would never deny my Lord. Be careful. I remember in school, you know, I was just a young whippersnapper in Bible school, and we were all there studying the scriptures, and we're going to change the world. We were excited about the things of God, and a bunch of us were sitting over talking, and we talk about martyrdom, and we talk about, you know what, all these people that get killed for their faith, and even today, pray for the Christians around the world, because there are Christians who don't have to worry about being in Facebook jail, who actually will end up in prison, who will be killed for their faith around the globe. We have it pretty easy. And we're talking about that. We're talking about, oh yeah, how I would never deny the Lord. And I said, you know, if we were in the mission field, we would die for our faith. And one of our professors said, you guys are idiots. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You do not know. And you will not be able to do it in the flesh. But those that give up their life for their faith is empowered by God, the Spirit, to do it. Be careful being haughty. Right? We do this. We look at other people and say, oh, wow, they doubt, they fear. Oh, they do this, right? Not me. Jesus knows. And he told them, all of you are going to stumble. Peter, you. Even so much, Jesus knows even the details here. He said, look, before the crow crows, right? Before the rooster crows, by morning, three times. Not just once, but three times, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter's like, oh no, I will die for you before that happens. This is verse 35. Take a look down in verse 69, just a few verses in that same chapter. Jesus has been arrested. Like I said, we'll go over this next week, but Judas comes and kisses Jesus and betrays him. And the soldiers take Jesus away, and Peter wants to follow, so he's following Jesus and to figure out kind of what's going on, but he's at a distance. Just a few, look at the change here, because Peter's like, oh, we'll die for you. Never me, right? I'm super Christian. And just within a few verses, it says, and Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. I mean, they're seeing Jesus. Jesus had been beaten, dragged. The soldiers with their swords. Scary situation. And man, that changes Peter's attitude. Right? And Peter turns around. She goes, oh, you're one of those Jesus followers. And he's like, hey, I don't know the guy. You know, just like I did, I was living a life. Now, I never said I didn't know Jesus, but my life was showing that. Right? So much so that a lady I worked with for years didn't even know I was a Christian, didn't know I'd go into church. Right? I didn't deny him with my words, but I denied him with my actions and my deeds. I'm no better than Peter. And maybe you've been down that road, and maybe you're on the way back, or maybe you've struggled. But this message is one of hope because the Lord knows. And even guys like Peter stumble along the way, and you may stumble. So much so that he turns around, right? It says, then when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow has been also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Now they were from Galilee, so they had the country accent. You're from Galilee. You've been with him. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Just like Jesus said three times. He denied the Lord. To be so caught up at that moment to lose track of everything else. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. See, here's the thing. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And you feel that conviction. I know in my life there's been times I haven't lived the life. There's been times when I've backslidden. I've done things I'm not supposed to do. I've done things I'm not proud of. There are things that I'm ashamed of. And maybe sin is joyful at the moment, but you know that ache within your heart. You know it's wrong. You feel that shame, and so sometimes you have a choice. Do I go back or do I just keep going down that road? And remember I said the Lord knew, right? The Lord knew this was going to happen. Actually, Luke tells us again. He says, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So here, picture in the courtyard, apparently it was open enough that Jesus could look over and see Peter. And third time, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord. How he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. I just picture this moment. Jesus, you know, Peter's in the midst of it. I don't know the guy, right? I promise, I swear, you know. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I don't know who came up with that. That was a violent little children, right? I promise I don't know him, right? What are you talking about? I'm not one of those Christ followers. And at that moment, his eyes caught Jesus' eyes. Oh. And maybe you've been down that road and you know what it's like to feel that conviction of God. You know what you're doing is wrong. What do you do with it? See, when you stumble and you fall, when you backslide and wander away, not only does the Lord know, but here the call comes out is to confess and return. Because I think Peter wrestled with that. He turned around and is like, how could I ever come back? Right? How do you come back after all of this? And Jesus says, come. But you feel the shame, you feel the reproach. Right? Sometimes you're around other people, you feel that judgment from them. I think sometimes the hardest steps for people is for them to come back in the church. I've talked with people, I said, you know what? I was outside and I was like, I couldn't even come into the church door because I'm afraid of what. Let me tell you, you come on this side of that door, you're welcomed and you're loved. It's fear on the outside, but there's joy on the inside. Come back. That's what Jesus says. Come back. Notice what he says here in Luke. I don't know if you picked this up the last time we looked at this verse. So the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Notice how he says here. And when you have returned to me, strengthen my brother. What a joy this is. Look, the God who sees you stumble, right? The God who knows you're going to fall. The God who knows you're going to let him down. Guess what? He's still the same God who says, look, I see you when you come back. God says the doors are open. Confess your sins and come back. Seeing all these things, Peter understood later on. Do you see this in Peter? It's changing him. Because after the resurrection, after Peter got restored, we see this boldness within him. And then Peter and the other apostles answers him, we ought to obey God rather than men. After this point, Peter ends up being arrested and he stands firm. See, Peter isn't defined by his stumbling. He isn't defined by his failure. Neither are you. If you will confess it and turn to him, he will restore you and he has plans for you. What a hope that is. If we live in a world with so much cancel culture, Jesus never cancels you. Confess it and return. David. After he slept with Bathsheba, killed her husband, all this sin piled up, hid it all. And that hidden sin ate at him. This is David's words. And maybe you experienced this in your life. It says, when I kept silence, my bones grew old. Through my groanings all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquities I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. When I kept silent. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to keep you away from God, right? You're not good enough. I know what you've done. Jesus will never accept you, right? You're labeled now. You're used goods. I remember talking to a young lady once. Actually, I'm sorry, no. I was at work, and these guys were talking about this young lady. She was like 17 years old. And for about the last year, she started hanging out in parties, and the guys at the mill were pretty rough, and they partied pretty hard on the weekends, and this girl, when she started going to these parties, I think she was 15, 16, 17. So about 2 years, she'd go to these parties and the guys would just pass her around. And here we were in the lunchroom, they were talking and they were talking about the party. And they tell, oh, I hope this girl doesn't come. And they were all tee-heeing about this girl. And they're like, oh yeah, she's just used goods. Like I said, I was just kind of eavesdropping on the conversation. I'm like, how sad is it that here she was, 17 years old, and here she was being labeled as used. And what's really sad is the hypocrites, these guys are the guys that used her. You know what Jesus would say to her? You're not used. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The prodigal son left his dad, took all his money, squandered it with prostitutes and money and fine living, finally came to himself. He came to the end of his rope, and he said, what will I do? He goes, maybe I should go back home. Luke tells us this story. He says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer be worthy to be called your son. Maybe like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran on his neck and kissed him. This is the picture of the Father. Right? The Son was like, I'm not even worthy to be called your Son anymore. I messed up so bad. And yet the Father welcomed him home. That's what Jesus says. Come back to me. But you don't know what I've done. He goes, I know it. I saw it when I called you. I knew you were going to stumble, but I loved you anyways. Come back. Come back and be restored. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I am sorry. The Bible says He takes our sin and casts them as far as the east is from the west. Can I tell you something? There is no one who is too far gone that the Lord cannot restore. What a hope that is. In this, the Lord knows. He asks you to confess and return. And then from here on out, press on. And this is the message we don't hear much today, right? I'm caught in my sin. And nowadays, the sort of the modern church sort of tells you, that's okay. Keep doing it. The Bible says no. Right? Confess it. And move on. Press on. Turn from your sins. Because in this process is not a sort of a one and done. Because I let the Lord down often. See, I'm glad you don't have this problem because... But I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I don't think thoughts I'm supposed to be thinking. There are times when I know the Lord wants me to say something and I don't. And He says, press on. See, the devil wants to bring up your past. Remind you of what you were. Jesus says, I paid for that. Actually, John reminds us, he says, little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Right? God wants you to come and stop doing those things, but come out. But if anyone sins, what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only ours, but also for the whole world. Jesus says, don't sin. But when you do, He's there for you. We have an advocate. So when Satan comes up and says, aha, John did this. Jesus says, I paid for that. Remember what John did. How he used to be. Jesus says, he's a new creature in me. And he's not what he used to be. See, Satan wants to keep you away from Jesus. And Jesus says, come. Find forgiveness. Find restoration. Find a new way. Paul talks about, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. That's the thing. Say, okay, I'm forgiven, yes, okay, but I'm going to mess up again. Yeah, probably will. Oh, yeah, but I look around and everyone else in this church is perfect. You know, they may look perfect, but guess what? They're not. See, church isn't full of perfect people. Church would be full of forgiven people. Amen? But not that I've already attained, right? I'm not perfect, already perfected. But I press on that I may lay hold that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brother, I do not count myself as apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't be haunted by your past. Press on. If you've confessed it, Jesus says he will forgive it. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. Jesus says that he will remember your sins no more. And I find this a really interesting thing because we have a God who knows all things. But he chooses to forgive and forget. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is life after sin. There is life after stumbling. We look at Peter, and three times he denied the Lord. Cursed and swore, I do not know the man. But see, that's not the end of his story. Peter was restored and used by God. And you may say, you know what? I've messed up. I've fallen short. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Pastor, you just don't understand. Look, I don't need to understand. All I can tell you is Jesus already knows, and he paid for that. If you will confess and turn from that, he's got a future for you. To use you for his honor, for his glory. What if I stumble? What if I fall? We serve a God who picks up and restores and renews. I hope you have that hope this morning. If not, confess that sin. Turn from it. And walk with him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words. Lord, I look at Peter, Lord, a disciple who saw you, who walked with you, yet he still stumbled. Oh, Lord, I stumble and I fall. I fall short. But, Lord, you restore, you redeem, and you forgive. Lord, I pray this morning someone will find that forgiveness, that encouragement, Lord, to press on. You're not done with them yet. All for your honor and all for your glory, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.